Shalom. This is Yair Davidi from New Bambi, Brit Am Broadcasting Israel, representing the Brit Am Lost Ten Tribes movement. The Lost Ten Tribes are now to be found amongst Western peoples. That is what our movement believes in. That is what we practice. And this is the message that we spread. Our present study concerns Psalms 141, a Psalm of David. Psalm 141, it begins, Lord, I cry unto you, make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto you. I cry unto you, in Hebrew, karatika, literally, I cried unto you in the past tense. Karatika, I cried unto you, comes from the root kuf resh aleph, kara. Kara, and a verbal form of this root of this word, which actually means call or cry unto, gives us the English word cry. It can be pronounced as cry. That is where the English word comes from. A lot of English words derive from Hebrew, and this is one of them. The second major word, husha, make haste. Translators, make haste. Also. Possibly gave word to the English word haste, quicken. Husha means quicken, be quick. It can also be pronounced as husha, husha, more of a hay sound. And also in Northern Hebrew where the shin is sh, the sha sound becomes an s. We have husa, husa, and has comes close to haste. So maybe it's a coincidence. As happens a lot of times, but even if it's a coincidence, it shows some type of common denominator, as if to say, with the linguistic psychology of the language. Because we have a lot of words in English that are similar to Hebrew words, and even when these words are claimed to have other explanations as to how they entered the English language, the fact that these words are used in a sense, in a way, in a format that is similar to how the biblical Hebrew would have used them, and they sound the same, as if to say, may suggest some type of ancestral recollection, ancestral instinctive application of these words, of these word roots, in such a way as to bring out the biblical meaning. I believe this. There's a lot of examples about it, and I'm convinced of it, and I think others are as well. A lot of people know Hebrew. When you speak to them and bring up these suggestions, they would agree with this, or they, at least to me, they agree with it. And it's a fact. There is some type of connection between the English and the Hebrew language, not only in the syntax, in the grammar, in the construction, in the psychology behind the language, but also in the instinctive application that the speakers of English have in using words in similar to how words of the same meaning would have been used in Hebrew. As we continue, the second verse in this psalm says, Psalms 141 verse 2, let my prayer be set before you as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as evening sacrifice. We cannot go to the temple now. We cannot even present ourselves properly before, as we should, before the Almighty. We cannot do as we should. Cannot get ourselves all dressed up or prepare ourselves, psychologically prepare ourselves to call unto God as we want to do so. We are in trouble. We are as we are, and we are in trouble. We are in need of help, and so we call unto God, and we ask Him to accept our calling unto Him, as if we had prepared ourselves, as if we had come to the temple, as if we had offered up incense, as if we had done everything that it is proper to do, that would make us feel better about how we are making our request. Because God knows that in our hearts we call unto Him because we want Him to help us. We are imperfect beings, and we have a limited circumstances, confined circumstances. We are not able to do everything as we should do for all kinds of reasons, and even if we are able to do it, we're not going to do it because of our own limitations. So we ask God to accept us all the same. And He will. He will accept us. God will listen to us and he will hear us. We just have to ask him and call unto him when we are in need of his direction. Next one, Psalms 141:3 says, "I watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips." Door in Hebrew, this is not a good translation. The Hebrew is dal, it means poor, or from the root dole, draw forth. In other words, the insignificant things that I let drop out of my mouth, let me watch over them. Let me be aware of them. Let me be careful of what I say. Let me not say things that hurt people. We often say things that we don't intend. Sometimes we think things and then we give expression to our thoughts and this offends people. Or sometimes we say things and hurt other people and we weren't even thinking that way. We don't know why. Somehow the things, yeah, they just take a life of their own. You open your mouth up and you start speaking and suddenly you've gone around and offended people you didn't want to offend. This happens, and we should be careful of what we are saying. We ask God to help us keep our mouth closed, or at least keep a guard on our tongue on what we are saying, to direct our speech properly, to not say things that are superfluous and that are harmful. And we should all do that, and this is obvious, but we don't do it. We all know that we all are liable to fall down in this direction at some point or other, so we ask God to help us, speak correctly. To speak well and positively, to be, let us, that is our life. Our life is in our mouth, and we should learn to say things that are good, things that build people, that help others, that help ourselves, that cause a positive aura, atmosphere to emanate from us, from those around us, due to what we say unto them, encouragement that we give unto them, the words of wisdom that we are unable to say, or not so just the positive things, our positive attitude. But only good things should come out of our mouth. That is what we ask. We ask God to help us, because we all know that unless God helps us, we will not be able to do it. Goes on, 141, verse 4, "Incline not my heart to an evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties." We ask God to help us not to be trapped by the wicked, not to let ourselves be led astray through bad company or the search for transient pleasures. We ask God to help us, to keep us, and let us not go around in wicked company. Let us not team up with bad people. And let us not be led astray by the delights or the pleasures or the ego boosts, the boost to our ego that we sometimes get through hanging out with people who we admire or who are... there's something to give us, we want something from them, and so we hang out with them, we go around with them, we listen to them, we speak unto them, we make impressions upon them, and we let them make impressions upon us. And when these people are negative, we too are sucked in. We too have everyone else, we have a potential for negative actions and negative thoughts and negative attributes within us. And we may want to keep this in control, to be good people, and often we may succeed. But if we hang out with other bad people, if we go around with bad company, it will be almost impossible not to slip up and be bad like they are. So we ask God to help us to not be led astray, and to be able to keep our distance, to come close to God and keep away from the others. Psalms 141:5 says that the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness, and let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil, which shall not bring my head. Yet my prayer also shall be in their calamity. So in Hebrew, this is a bit difficult, as we mentioned in our written commentary that may be seen on our website, www.britam.org, BRITAM.ORG, on our website, britam.org. And the verse is saying, or at least according to the translation of the King James, which is in this case, accords with the rabbinical translation of Rabbi David Kimchi, Radak, that we say that when a good person hits us or reproves us, it was a kindness, and it is actually like an oil upon our head, anoints our head, makes us look better, makes us feel better, makes us healthy. And it will not harm us, on the contrary. And also the person who is reproving us or is hurting us for our own good He will pray for us, and God will look after us by virtue of this blow that we received to put us on the right track. And so in principle, the principle behind this verse is that when someone says something to you, when he says you're not doing the right thing, he says you should correct yourself. Even if it's a good friend, a member of a family, sometimes we can get offended. Everyone can feel a little bit. We don't like being reproved. We don't like being told off. We don't like being told that we have not been doing as we should have been. We don't like it. It's not pleasant. We don't like being told that we should better ourselves. We should correct ourselves. We don't like being told off. And some people can exaggerate when they tell us off. And no one likes to be nagged. We should also not nag others. Sometimes you have a child or you have a spouse who's not doing as they should, and you finally get the courage up to tell them to correct themselves. And sometimes you can go overboard and go on and on and on, and it's harmful to people. You should be very careful about this. But we do, when people respect and love people who do not want to harm us, tell us that we should correct ourselves. We should take this in the right context to appreciate it and correct ourselves. And we give an example of someone. You're going to get a haircut. A man is going to get a haircut, and someone comes over, tells the barber just to shit it a little bit, do this and that. And suddenly you come out looking better than you ever looked before, 10 years younger and twice as handsome. Or a woman putting on her makeup, and then a friend comes up and tells us that she's making a mistake not to put so much black here, put it there, and suddenly she looks 20 years younger and even more attractive. So of course she would appreciate it, and so would the man appreciate it. We would appreciate it if someone did it to us. We wouldn't mind them having told us that what we had been doing previously was incorrect, because we see the advantage that we have gained from listening to this reproof, listening to this correction. So too, when someone tells us that you've been doing the wrong thing, you've been doing a bad thing, listen to them, do better, take it to heart, and prove yourself. And that is as if we should be counted to us as if someone had made us look much better and younger and vigorous and whatever other qualities we wish we had, we wish that we would receive. So too, a reproof should be considered in the same category. As 141 verse 6 says, when their judges are overthrown in stunning places, they shall hear my words, for they are sweet. So this too is going back to the exhortation not to listen to bad people. And we sometimes let bad people misguide us. We let our friends misguide us. We hang out with people, and sometimes it's difficult not to do so. A person needs company, needs friends, and sometimes you cannot always choose your friends, or you cannot always choose the people you associate with. Your individual choices are limited. Nevertheless, we should be very careful, and we should not listen to them, and we should not, especially not let other people misguide us, lead us astray. We should not look up to people who are bad influences upon us, and when we see the misfortunes that will overcome them if they are bad. So we will realize, we will appreciate more the biblical message. And you should open your eyes and see what's going on. See what happens to people who don't go in the way of the Torah. See what happens to people who take drugs. See what happens to people who are promiscuous. See what happens to people who are disloyal, who tell lies. They're always getting into trouble. They're always hurting themselves, hurting others. You don't want to be that way. You don't want to go in that path. You want to go in the way of the God Almighty tells you to go in. You want to do good, and you want good to come unto you. So keep your eyes open and your mouth as closed as possible, and listen and pray and ask God to help us, and he will help us, and you will come through, and you will overcome. And so will we all. This is what this psalm is all about. It continues, Psalm 141, verse 7, our bones are scattered at the greatest mouth, as when one cutteth and cleaveth wood upon the earth. So the overall gist of this particular verse is saying that we are on the edge of the grave any time now. Any time now you can die. God forbid, any time now some accident can happen to you. Or you can suddenly get sick and your whole body just fall apart, bang, 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 and it happens. Before we know it, we see that. You see it now and again. See, people walking around healthy, happy, confident, suddenly they get sick. Seriously sick, one, two, three, a couple of months and they're gone. Well, God forbid they have an accident and they're overnight, within the course of a day, within a minute even. And this happens to everyone. Sooner or later, we all have to leave this world. We should realize that we're not here forever. And it's a human nature. Human nature, a person, as long as he breathes, he assumes that he's going to live forever. He thinks as if he will live forever. He wants things that will give him benefit if he lives forever. That's not what's going to happen. We are liable to die, we are liable to be punished, or we are liable to have everything collapse around us or inside of us at any minute. So God Almighty keeps us together and helps us. We ask Him and please God to help us, and that we should continue in this way. We should always be healthy and happy and wealthy and whatever else we need. That all good things should come unto us and come to our family. We need to take ourselves seriously, but this is not how the things always are. We have to take ourselves seriously. We have to relate to our duties as stated in the Bible. Whilst we are still able to do what you can, as well as you can, while you still can, and realize that you do not necessarily have as much time or as much energy or as much possibilities as you thought you would have or as you would want. So with what you have, what you are able, use it. Use it and use what you have, and you will see it can go a long way. It can still go a long way. The end is not here. You still may have time left. You still probably have time left. You have another opportunity. Every minute you are alive is another opportunity. It's an opportunity to do good. Take advantage of it. Psalm 141 verse 8. My eyes unto you, O God, the Lord. In you is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. Goes on. Keep me from the snares which they have laid for me and the traps of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, whilst that I with all escape. Let us believe in God and do what we should. God will help us. God will guide us. The Almighty will tell us what we should do, and He will be with us. And this is all we need. All you need is God Almighty. And He is there for you. He is calling unto you. Open up unto Him. Thank you very much. This is Yair Davidi from New Bambi, Brit-owned Broadcasting Israel. We have been speaking to you from Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. We have been speaking to you on behalf of Brit-Am, the 10 Tribes Movement. Website, www.britam.org. Thank you.